you would, stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word. We're going to read one verse of Scripture in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, and that will set the theme up for us. Revelation chapter 22, starting verse 17. Says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost." Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your invitation to come and to drink from the water you give us. Lord, I pray that everyone in the house this morning knows you. And Father, if there is someone here who does not know you in a personal way, that today you'd speak to their heart, Lord, and they would hear the invitation that you give, and they would come and receive your grace and your mercy. Father, we are so thankful that you have loved us, and you have cared for us, and that you have redeemed us, God. And so, Father, we want to thank you for your grace. And today, God, just give us ears to hear. Father, may you inspire us today through the reading of your word. May you teach us today. May you correct us today, Lord. Whatever you need to do, Lord, do to us. Help us to be your people, God. Father, of all the people in the house this morning, there is strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. This morning, we're going to do a message titled Dressed and Ready. So look at your neighbor and say, be dressed and ready. Well, you ain't got a neighbor, so look back behind you and tell Bill there, be dressed and ready. Be dressed and ready. Be dressed and ready. We're going to read a parable in Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 1. So if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 22, verse 1. And we finished up our marriage series, so we're going to just follow this up with the ending, capping it off at a wedding banquet, at a wedding feast. You know, you go to a wedding, you see the ceremony, and then a lot of times they have the reception, and there's a banquet ready. Well, I'm going to tell you that there's a great reception awaiting for the child of God. And there's a banqueting table where we can sit and feast at the table of the Lamb of God. And there's an invitation been extended, and the question is, will you RSVP? How many of you all have ever gotten a wedding invitation, and they said, RSVP? Would you like the steak, the chicken, whatever it might be, and you put it in there, and you go to the reception, you go to the wedding, and you look at the table, and what do they have right there waiting for you? Yeah, it depends on how fancy it is, right? If it's they have your name right there on the table, reserved for you. There's a place for you. Well, I want you to know this morning, there is a reservation. There is an invitation that God has given. And if you hear his voice and you respond and you say, yes, Lord, then there's a reservation waiting for you. There's a place at the table for you. And you know what my prayer is? Is that everyone in the house this morning would have a place at the table. We're real funny here at Living Water Church. We love people. We want you to be saved. We want you to know Jesus. And so if you don't know Christ, guess what? We want to give you an invitation too, because he's got a great place waiting for us, and we want you to be there. So Matthew chapter 22, starting verse 1, says, "Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son." Now, this is going to be a great feast. Why? Because it's a royal wedding. It's a king who is giving a wedding feast for his son. This is a king. Now, this is a parable, so it's teaching us it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and that means that there is the great king, there is the great God who has an invitation, and he has a wedding feast for his son, and it's going to be good. Now, this is going to be a good feast, because this is a great king. This is going to be the best of the best. This is going to be the best banquet that you could ever attend to. It's going to have the greatest spread. It's going to have, you know, filet mignon. It's going to be good stuff. High quality stuff. It's a feast that a king has made. It's the place you want to be. It's the wedding of all wedding feasts. It's the one that you would love to be invited to. It's the one that's going to outshine any other feast. It's a great place. It's a great feast. You'll want to be there. It says the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for a son, and he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. He sent out slaves. It was customary as the wedding feast was approaching to those who had been invited to go send out messengers again to say, hey, the wedding is coming, the wedding is coming, the wedding feast is about ready. Be ready to receive your invitation, and it's ready to come. Come on, it's time to start making your way to the feast. And it says they were unwilling to come. Now, this parable is speaking of Jesus' dealings with his Jewish people, but also it's going to apply to us as well. So when Jesus came, he came to his own, and his own received him not. So when Jesus came, he came to the Jews, but they were unwilling to receive him. But I want you to notice something in the text, what it says. They were unwilling to come. It's not that people cannot come to Christ. It's that there are some people who will not. This morning, if you don't know Jesus, it's not that you haven't been invited to the table, and you're not going to be able to blame him and say, well, I just couldn't receive the invitation. No, the invitation is to you. It's been proclaimed to you. The invitation is here. The feast is ready. Come. Will you come? Don't say, I can't. Say, I won't. They will not come. They're unwilling to come. How sad it would be to be invited to a great feast and not show up. Be unwilling to go. How sad that would be. But this is exactly what happened to Jesus when he came to the Jews. Again, he sent out other slaves saying, now notice the heartbeat of God. You see, Peter says that he is not slow, as some count slowness, but he is patient. He is willing. He desires for all people to come to repentance. And so when the prophets of old spoke foretelling the coming of Christ, the Jews had that. When John the Baptist stepped on the scene, John the Baptist declared, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was declaring, but they would not listen to him. Jesus steps on the scene and he begins preaching the kingdom of God is at hand, and they will not receive him. But notice that God, he just doesn't send one group of messengers out there to go and bid them to come. He sends out another group. Do you see God's heart for people? That he desires people to come to him, to know him, to receive him. He sends out this second group to tell them. And look what he says, verse 4. Tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fattened livestock are all butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. The Father is ready to accept us. The Son is ready to intercede for us. The Spirit is ready to sanctify us. Pardon is ready. Grace is ready. Peace is ready. Mercy is ready. Salvation is ready. Come to the table, he says. Come. All you got to do is come. It's ready. It's prepared. There's a great feast. The angels long to come alongside you and watch over you. Others seek to come along and join you. Providence is ready to bring good to you. The banqueting table is ready. Come to the table, he says. Come to the feast. It's a great place. Of his mercy, of his forgiveness, of his love. But look at verse 5. But they paid what? No attention. And they went their way. One to his own farm, another to his business. Jesus when he looked over Jerusalem, it said that he wept for them. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were unwilling." His own people rejected him. They could care less. They could care less about the invitation. They had other more important things to do. They had to go to their farm. They had to go do their business. Can I tell you, people today still respond the same way that they responded when Jesus came. There are folks who they'll hear about the gospel, they'll hear about Jesus, they'll hear about his love and his mercy, and they could care less. They got more important things to do. I've got worldly stuff to go to. I've got to make my money. I've got to work. I've got to do. Yes, you know, we all have to do our business. The farmer does have to attend to his farm. The businessman needs to attend to his business. That's all legitimate. But never allow the world to take precedence over the most needful thing, and that is your soul. Never allow anything in this world to take priority over your relationship with God. Anything that would hinder you from coming to know Jesus is not worth it. You can gain the whole world, Jesus said. What profit does it do a man if he gains the whole world but yet forfeits his very soul? There is nothing in this world worth dying and going to hell over. Not one thing. Not one business activity. Not one entertainment activity. There is nothing, nothing, no pleasure, no pursuit, no possession, nothing that is more important than your very soul. Do you know Jesus? Have you responded to his invitation? Have you said, I want my name at the dinner plate. When I die, I'm going to be there. These folks took the invitation and said, I'm not interested. I'll go do my own stuff. That's one group. One group of people just says, I don't care. Don't quit talking to me about that church stuff. I'm not interested in that Jesus thing that you talk about. I'm living my life. Apathy. Don't care. Just lack of desire. There's another group that's more intense. They have actually a hatred over the invitation. This one group, they paid no attention. They went for their business. In verse 6 it says, and the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. This is what the Pharisees tried to do to Jesus, right? And ultimately that's what happened. He was seized and he was crucified, right? There was one group, the Pharisees, the religious people of the day, could not stand to hear Jesus speak. They attempted time after time and time to trip him up. Most of their questions wasn't out of sincerity. It was out of trying to trick him. And they were waiting and plotting all through until finally they succeeded. And when Jesus was brought, when Pilate brought Jesus before the people and he said, Barabbas or Jesus, they led in the shout, give us Barabbas. We want Barabbas. What do we do with Jesus? Crucify. Crucify. They stoned the prophets. All through the Old Testament, when the true prophets of God would speak the word of God, they'd stone them, they'd kill them, they would do anything, they would saw them in two. When Jesus walked on the earth, they didn't listen to him. When he was crucified, he was resurrected. The Holy Spirit sent, empowered the church to preach the word of God. And the very first guy that gets up and preaches a message, other than Peter, when Stephen gives his delivery, guess what they do to him? They stone him. All through the church and through the book of Acts, you read that God's got a heart. He's trying to win the people. He's trying to win his people. He's trying to win the Jews. And then eventually we see that it begins to spread, not just to the Jews, to the Samaritan, to the Gentile, and it goes out. Still today, we have people who hate the invitation of Jesus. What we see going on in the Middle East is hatred. What we see is opposition to the gospel. What we see is a group of people that do not love Jesus, who do not worship Jesus. They do not worship the same God we worship. We worship the true living Savior. His name is Jesus, who was crucified, buried, and rose again. They can't stand his name, and they will crucify, behead, kill anybody who names the name of Jesus. This still goes on today. It's a spiritual thing that's going on. It's a battle that's raging. All because they despise the invitation. What happens? Verse 7. It says, but the king was enraged, and he sent his armies, and he destroyed those murderers, and he set their city on fire. It says, the king is enraged by their opposition, by them killing the servants, that the king steps in, and he sends an army, and he destroys them. 40 years after the Around 40 years after the crucifixion of Jesus, Rome comes into Jerusalem and completely wipes them out. God uses Rome as judgment against his own people. But still, there was 40 years that went by. What does that show? God's grace and his longing and his wooing. He's trying to get their attention. He's trying to bid them to come, but they will not come. And guess what? Today, a nation, a person, a people who will not heed the voice of God, eventually one day the king says, enough, judgment comes. Judgment comes. That's why I pray for our nation. I pray for our leaders. I pray for our president and our Congress and our Senate. I pray that God would grip the heart of this nation and that we would look up into God and look to him for our answers and our strength. Because God will honor a nation that will honor him. God honors a people that honors him. God honors that man or that woman who honors him. If not, his judgment does come. Then he says to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore, he says, to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. He says, go out. If the people that were originally invited don't want to hear the invitation, if they don't want to come to the party, I've got a feast, I've got food on the table, I've got a great place, then go out to the highways, go anywhere you can, and you find anybody who's willing to come and tell them, come on, they're welcome. Come on to the wedding feast. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're black or white or Hispanic. It doesn't matter if you're tall or short, skinny, fat, young, old, whoever you are, come on, come on. The invitation is to everybody. Go out and grab as many people as you can find. Man, you know what living water is? It's just a group of a bunch of everybody that said, you know what? I'm coming to the table. I'm coming to the table. The lame, the sick, the beat up, the busted up, the island of misfits. You all remember that cartoon? Everybody's welcome to come on. Tell the world you're invited to come. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have or you don't have. Come to the table. The king's prepared. You're invited. Look at your name and say, you're invited. You're invited. Tell the world you're invited. Tell your neighbor you're invited. Tell the people you work with you're invited. Tell everyone around you you're invited. You're invited. The king wants you there. He sent you an invitation. Tell your high school friends you're invited. Go tell them, tell them, tell them you're invited. He wants you when you're young. Get you living for him now. You're invited at the table. There's a wedding feast. And so those slaves, they went out into the streets and they gathered together all that they found. I mean, the apostles, they went out and they started preaching the gospel. And ever since the first message, it's been going on ever since. Preachers all around the world preaching the gospel. People in the pews going around preaching the gospel. Everybody, just Christians going out, inviting people to come. They went out into the streets. They gathered all they could find, both the evil and the good. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. Because if you have a feast and you've got a spread, you don't want it to go to waste. Right? You want it to be enjoyed. That's why you set the feast. It's so that people can come and enjoy the bounty. The reason why he saved you is so that you can enjoy the bountiful graces that he offers. Child of God, he wants you to enjoy his peace that he gives you. He wants you to enjoy his mercy. He wants you to enjoy his love. He wants you to live out the joy that only he can give. He wants you to know him and live for him and honor him and serve him. And in that doing that, it blesses you and brings blessing to others around you when you sit at his table. Now you're invited. And as the custom of this day would come, they would bring the wedding guests that would come, and the host would bring wedding garments out, and he would give you wedding garments to wear for this event. He'd give you special clothes to wear so that you could be at this wedding. It was his gift to you. And if you're going to eat at this table, you wear the clothes that he gives you to wear. So you got to be dressed and ready. Look at your neighbor and say, be dressed and ready. So they went out. They provide the clothes for the people to come and wear at this feast. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. How'd he get in the feast? Why is he not wearing the proper clothes? Can I tell you? Heaven is God's. The earth is God's. This is his world. This is his rules. You'll not get to heaven in your own clothes. You'll not get to heaven your own way. You'll not get to heaven in your own system. You'll not get to heaven in your own religion. You'll not get to heaven in your own philosophy. You'll not get to heaven in the way that you think you should go there. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus the Son. Now, this is where the world doesn't like it. This is where you get opposition. Well, there can't be only one way to God. Yeah, there is. There's one way, and that's through his Son. His Son died for you. He bled for you. He was in a tomb, and he rose again. No other person did that. So if you want to get to God, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to sit in a feast, you got to go by his rules. And I can hear the American generation now. Well, that's not fair. Well, who said it? I want to get there my way. Mm-mm. You're not going to get there. You don't want fairness. You don't want fairness. Fairness means everybody gets what they deserve. Do you want to get what you deserve? Do you know what you deserve? The Bible says all of us are sinners. And so that we all deserve hell, separated from God from eternity. I don't want what I deserve. I want mercy. Give me mercy. Give me mercy. Jesus, save me. Give me mercy. I don't want what I deserve. I want your grace. I want your grace. And it comes through a relationship with who? Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Do you have the proper clothes? That's why Paul says, put on the Lord Jesus. Put on mercy and grace and forgiveness. Come to Christ. He looks and he says to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. He says, friend, this is not a term of endearment, friend. This is the friend as if Jesus, when he was looking at Judas and called him friend. This is the friend that is only friend by association. This is the friend who is in the church, but not in Christ. This is the friend who really doesn't have the heart for the master. And ever since the dawn of the church, there's always been folks who claim to be friends of Jesus, but their heart is far from him. This is where the hypocrite needs to take serious notice. This is where the church member needs to really make sure that they just don't know about him, but they know him. This is where the person who just has a name on a roll makes sure that he or she checks themselves to see if they're really wearing the right clothes. That they're really trusting in the clothes of the grace of Jesus. That they're placing all of their hope and their faith in the Son. This is where the person who really needs to check and see, do I come to Christ because I love him? Heaven forbid the person who lives in the church but not in Christ. Because on the day of judgment when he comes, you will be left speechless without a word to say, because you will not be able to give an account for your own clothes. And when he comes, your true colors are revealed. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and throw him out into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. The invitation goes out to many, but only few respond. That's why Jesus said, wide is the gate, wide is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the path that leads to life. Can I tell you today that Jesus in Revelation says he walks among the candlesticks, he walks among his church, and he looks not just at us, through us. And he knows what clothes you're wearing today. He knows if you're really trusting in his grace or if you're trusting in yourself. He knows if you truly love him with all your heart or you're just playing the game. And today my prayer would be that you allow him to walk up and down these aisles and pierce into your soul, and that you let him examine you today, and that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are dressed and ready, that you've heard the invitation, that you've received his clothes, and that you've put them on, and you've said, "Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. I'll love you. I'll obey you. I'll be baptized not because that water saves me, but I'll be baptized because you saved me. And you told me to go be baptized. I'll take the communion when it comes my way, not because this saves me, but because every time that I do it, I witness to you. And I give thanks to you. I'll go out and I'll share my faith with people, not because I'm earning another notch on my belt so that you can love me more, but because I love you, God, and I love people, and I want more people at the table. I'll read and study, and I'll abstain from sin, and I'll get sin out of my life, not because I know that makes me more righteous in your sight, but because I love you, God, and you said, get sin out of my life and my heart. I'll get selfishness out of the way, greed out of the way, envy out of the way, lust out of the way. I'll get all the stuff that is staining these clothes that you've given me, because I want to live for you, Jesus. Because you've given me wonderful clothes to wear, and you've got a wonderful banquet for me to feast at. And when I die, as we all will, I want to see my name at the table where there's a place. I want that for me, my family, and for you. Are you dressed and ready? Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. We love you today. Do not let us be people who are apathetic to your call and just could care less. Father, may we be people who graciously respond to your invitation, and that we wear the clothes you have given us, and we live in gratitude of your great love. Lord, if there be one this morning that's never received your invitation, I pray, God, that you would bid them to come. And Father, if they would step out and say, I want to go. I want to be there. I want to know God. I want my sins forgiven. I want to come to the table of mercy. And Lord, we know that you would not cast out that so. But Father, if we wait and we reject you, there will be a judgment day. And on that day, it'll be too late. Lord, don't let us wait. Don't let us wait until it's too late. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. Let's come this morning. Maybe we need to pray for individuals. Whatever God's bidden you to do this morning, come. Come this morning as we sing, come.